We're going over to Australia now, to Sydney, where it is 7:10 in the evening there. And Jono Coleman is preparing to celebrate New Year's Eve. He's just finished his own radio show and he joins us live from Sydney. Good evening, Jono.
Hello, Hannah. How are you going? Happy New Year, Merry Christmas, etc.
Happy New Year and Merry Christmas to you. Have you had a good show?
Yes, we've just been on from 4 till 7, the two Johns on FM 99.3 in Sydney, which is like a, it's kind of a community station which we all do our bit and work free of charge just for, it's a radio station that's been here for about 40 years and it's kind of like, it's just great fun. You can do whatever you want to do and play whatever music you want to play. And I'm just standing at the front door of the radio station now, looking out at Sydney, and it's pouring with rain at the moment.
It's crazy.
It's been a beautiful hot day. It's not cold. It's about 28 degrees, 27, 28 degrees, quite humid, but it's sort of overcast, and there's sort of just big clouds rolling in, but you can see the brightness behind the clouds, but there's a big weather pressure centre going over Sydney as we speak. So it's actually, it's like a pelting down day, and there's a bit of thunder as well.
Do you think everybody's panicking?
I think there's a lot of people, there's 1.5 million people down around the harbour and various vantage points around Sydney near the Opera House and near the Sydney Harbour Bridge. The fireworks, the two sets of fireworks, kick off in about 2 hours, 9 o'clock fireworks. And then at midnight, there's the big one. So they do the kids' ones at 9 o'clock, which go for about 15 minutes. Yeah. And then at midnight, the big ones go for about 20, 25 minutes. And I guess there'll be a lot of people with their fingers crossed. I mean, it's not raining that hard now, but it's kind of not great weather for fireworks, one would think.
No. Well, hopefully it'll finish soon, because Sydney New Year's Eve is one of the best New Year's Eve I've had. I was at Milsons Point in 2001.
Oh, right. Well, that is a fantastic vintage. Well, I was at Vintage Point. Fantastic vintage of wine. A fantastic vantage point as well. But, Milsons Point, you're like very close to the harbour's edge, and you can see the harbour, and you can see Luna Park, and you can see all those amazing things. You probably could also see the Opera House from where you were as well, maybe.
Yeah, definitely. It was really spectacular.
Well, there'd be a lot of people down there now with their plastic ponchos on and their umbrellas up. A lot of them have been there all day. Well, you know, and it's been a fantastic day. I've been swimming earlier today in the old swimming pool and having a great sort of restful sort of Monday morning, because it's sort of a public holiday tomorrow. So most people have got, you know, they've had Saturday, Sunday, and then Monday today off, and then all of them will have Tuesday tomorrow, New Year's Day off. I've got the day off the TV and the day off the radio and everything. So if the rain continues, it's going to be a bit of a dampener. I mean, all the fireworks will go ahead and you'll see them on Sky TV and on BBC TV, and they get covered all around the world, as you know, and they spent like about $3.5 or $4 million Australian dollars on fireworks, and the whole bridge is going to be lit up, and the Opera House sails and stuff all over the, you know, it gets bigger and bigger every year, as you know, Hannah.
Oh yeah, fantastic stuff. And I have to ask you, how are you? You've had a bit of a tricky year, to say the least.
Well, I was diagnosed in June of 2017 with prostate cancer, and underwent chemotherapy. I didn't have any surgery on the prostate because it had already spread slightly to some bones and bits and pieces. So I had the chemotherapy, then I had radiotherapy for 7 weeks. And I'm glad to say, after a year and a bit, I'm sort of now about 99% clear. I've got ongoing sort of a treatment that I take, tablets, and I'm having injections just to make sure it doesn't come back. And then every 3 months I get my PSA checked to make sure that the PSA levels, which is the protein in the prostate, don't start climbing again. And, you know, knock on wood, with the technology and the the medications and the stuff that they can do today with prostate cancer and breast cancer and testicular cancer, so many of the cancers, if not totally curable, are totally, you know, fightable and able to be managed. So my cancer is pretty much in remission. And it's in a form where it can be managed. So I still get to do the things I want to do, but I've just got to be careful with my health and make sure I keep taking the tablets, as they say.
Oh, that's fantastic news. I'm so, so pleased for you. And I know that you're really, really passionate in educating people, men particularly over 50, the importance of going to get things checked.
Yeah, exactly. It's so easy these days. I mean, I was getting blood tests every sort of 6 months to check my cholesterol and my heart was okay, and getting my PSA checked was part of that blood test. And it's also important to get the digital test where the nice GP puts his finger up for your bottom, because that's also the only way to tell if the prostate is slightly enlarged or if it's got a swelling on it, which mine was. It was enlarged and also had a cancerous growth on it. So, you know, it takes 30 seconds to find out where you're at. And unfortunately, I hadn't done it. And I was getting my PSA checked. And then that gradually was climbing. And they said, well, we better do a PSA check, but also a digital check. And that's when they said, oh, I think you've got a cancerous growth, which turned out to be malignant, and they, you know, they didn't have to operate because they could zap it with the old radiotherapy. But you know, it's the quicker you find out, guys, the easier it is. And the same with women, with breast and mammograms and all that kind of stuff. You know, women are much braver and much more used to getting their bodies checked out than men are. Men are so busy going, yeah, I'll do that. And that should be people's New Year's resolutions, should be go to the doctor, go to the GP and get whatever test you need to do, whether it's just a simple blood test, whether it's a mammogram, whatever. It's, you know, our bodies are temples and we only get one go at it, and it's too late when it's too late, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Good advice. But thank goodness that you're all okay now. That's brilliant, brilliant news. A couple of days ago, my husband and I were watching a new music documentary about Bross, After the Screaming Stops. I don't know if you've seen it, but you're on it.
Yeah, I haven't seen the whole thing. I've seen the trailer, and then they sent me some clips of myself and Dano, when Dano and I used to do my radio and TV partner in the 80s. Was a guy called Ian Rocherson, and it was sort of Jono and Dano. And then we did a few shows with Bross, who were huge in Australia, and we had them at Luna Park in Melbourne. And then they contacted us and said they were doing this kind of documentary thing, and I think it was on BBC Four or something like that. What's it like then?
Oh, it's really good. It's amazing to see. I mean, what a weird relationship they've had over the years.
Yeah.
It's very weird to see. Like, they're extremely touchy, to say the least, but both incredibly talented.
Yeah, and they have like, you know, it gives new meaning to creative differences. Like, you know, we talk about Lennon and McCartney and you know, working and loving, love-hate relationship, usually a loving relationship. But I think that the thing with Bross being brothers and also, you know, a very close-knit bunch, I think it was the same sort of thing, because the clips I've seen of it, it's very watchful, because it's sort of like you can see this kind of car crash about to happen, and they got so big and so huge, and it was like the old creative differences of which way should we go, what are we going to do next. I think we've seen it so much with boy bands especially.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a fascinating watch for sure. So what does 2019 have in store for you, Jono?
Well, I think I'll be coming back over to the UK to do some more things for people listening in the UK who maybe commute backwards and forwards to Spain. I've hooked up with my old Virgin Radio compadre, Russ. Russ Williams and I have started doing Russ and Jono podcasts. So we've done this Russ and Jono rebooted series of podcasts with people like Leo Sayer and Katrina from Katrina and the Waves and Alistair Stewart from ITN News. And I was in London a couple of months ago, so he was our guest, Alistair Stewart. And Ross and I got together and started doing this podcast.
Brilliant. Brilliant. I bet that's fun.
It is fun. Considering we haven't done it for, you know, over 20 years, we used to do breakfast on Virgin Radio, for people who didn't know. The original Virgin Radio breakfast show was the Russ and Jono Experience. So, and then Chris Evans took over and did the Chris Evans breakfast show. We went into drive time in the afternoons. So then it kind of all exploded with Chris Evans, and then he got fired and got sued, and Russ and I went our separate ways. We always remained friends. I went to Heart FM in London, Heart Radio, and Russ went off and did his sports stuff on Sky Sports and worked for various radio stations. So now Russ and I are doing the Russ and Jono rebooted podcast. So if any of your listeners want to check it out, they're free to download. And the one that's currently up with Leo Sayer for Christmas and New Year, all you do is you just go to russandjono.com.au. No, it's actually just .com, russandjono.com.
Okay.
Or go to at Russ and Jono rebooted, and it's on all the usual places where you get your download podcasts. But they're funny and they're good fun, and we've got bits, some of the old segments, and some, and we tell lots of stories about what went on behind the scenes and the times we got into trouble with Chris Evans and the time we got into trouble with Richard Branson. And yeah, it's a good sort of listen for people who like to listen to a couple of idiots arguing with each other.
Fabulous. Who doesn't love that?
No, exactly.
And with all that you've done and are currently doing a lot of TV and radio, do you have a preference? Because they're both very different, aren't they?
I love doing the radio because you can have fun, and I'm sitting here now talking to you. I've got a pair of boat shoes on, a pair of French board shorts that I bought a couple of years ago in the south of France. And I've got a T-shirt which has got Columbia Records on it, which I got in a Japanese department store a couple of years ago. And you can't really do that on the TV. On the TV, you've got to wear, you know, grown-up trousers and grown-up shoes and a grown-up shirt. Sometimes I can get away. If you've ever seen my Instagram or my Facebook, I'm always dressing up in silly outfits on Studio 10. So the 2019, I'll continue doing Studio 10 about 2 or 3 days a week around Australia, which is like a morning TV show, similar to what I used to do on GMTV back in the olden days.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll keep doing a bit of radio. I'm not going to do as much as I was doing in the last few years because, you know, I just think to myself, you know, you've got to look after your health and you've got to enjoy what you do.
Mm.
And I think we all tend to say yes too much to more shows. I mean, I was offered a radio show. Could you please do a radio show on Christmas Day from 9 till 2 in the afternoon? And another radio station I used to work for, which was good money. And I just thought to myself, do I really want to be on the radio from 9 o'clock in the morning till 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Christmas Day? And I said, look, thanks. It's lovely to be asked, but no.
Good for you. Good for you. Absolutely.
Yeah,
exactly. Life's exactly. Too short, isn't it?
Exactly. Especially when you have something like cancer and you go through that sort of looking at the realities of all our own mortality, and you think, I haven't got young kids anymore. I mean, Oscar, my son who was born in London, is now 25. And
wow.
Emily, our daughter, is she's doing her studies, or she's in Germany at the moment doing a degree course in Tübingen at the university town in Germany. But she's got her boyfriend over there. She's 21. And they're having an English white Christmas, or whatever it is. I don't know what colour the Christmas is in England this year. But they've been out and about sort of visiting all our old favourite restaurants and catching up with all our school friends. So, you know, yes, you have to enjoy the times that you have with all your loved ones. And especially, you know, it focuses in on Christmas time and New Year's Eve. You kind of think, oh, I wish my parents were still alive to see this, or I wish, you know, so many people have been passing away. It's like, you know, yesterday someone, you know, it's like every day you watch BBC television or you see the news, and there's, you know, this one's passed away or that one's passed away. You know that lovely lady who was on...
June Whitfield. June Whitfield yesterday. Yeah, really, really
and
sad.
I met her at a function in London a couple of times, actually, a charity function, and I met her at one of those carols in Westminster Abbey or something, one of the Christmases. And she is such a lovely lady, like one of those kind of Barbara Windsor type people, but a real, real legend, a real trooper. And, you know, you kind of go, well, there goes another one. And then John Bluthal, earlier in the year, who I was friendly with, who used to be in the Vicar of Dibley, and he passed away. But he was like about 95 or 96. Yeah. And, you know, he was one of those guys that was in you know, Hard Day's Night and Help and was in lots and lots of Spike Milligan shows. So, yeah, the older we get, the more people pass away, you know, and we just have to kind of enjoy them while they're around.
Absolutely. Well, a great message there, Jono. Thank you so much for joining us. RussandJono.com is the website if people want to listen to and download your podcast. A very happy new year to you and all of your friends and family in Australia.
And you too, and to your husband and to all your listeners and all my friends on the beautiful Spanish costas and in Malaga and everywhere. I've got some very sort of wonderful memories and a few hazy memories of the mornings on the Costa, especially when we did a whole week of GMTV from Malaga, I think, and that was very good fun back in the old days. I think it was me and I can't remember who I was doing it with, but it was a lot of late nights and a lot of very early mornings. So
yes,
it was fantastic.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah, exactly. Well, listen, Happy New Year to you guys, and hopefully you'll see the pictures of our fabulous fireworks. It's just about finished. There's virtually no rain now, so that's good news. It looks like it's clearing up in that great Sydney tradition of, you know, four seasons in one day.
Yeah, fantastic. Lots of love to you, Jono. Happy New Year, and we'll catch up soon. Take care.
All right. Thanks, Hannah. Thanks a lot, and lots of love to you too.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.